Blog Talk Radio.
We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a hand.
Lifting hands.
And God save us.
God save us.
We're your friends.
Your friends.
We're your neighbors.
We're your neighbors.
And we'll lend a
hand.
Lifting hands. And
God save us.
You know, it seems like we've all been conditioned by calendars and dates.
I want you to hear what I'm saying.
But there's no time,
no,
like the present,
no time
to give love,
to give love,
and not hate.
Just give love.
And if we could just embrace our
greetings and welcome to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, Reality of the Creator. Thank you for joining us this morning as we bring to you another wonderful and inspirational discussion from Imam Shahid Shabazz. The discussion today is on life is a process of the human soul rising up into spiritual life. Life, the process of the human soul rising up into spiritual life. Most of us people don't even think about life. All we do is see the physical body and assume that that's life. But now we have a surprise, don't we? We have something to think about. The soul of the human being is the real life of human life. The flesh is just an empty shell. In fact, the flesh is just dead earth. This is why when people die, it's said ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So people, this evil that is controlling most people is because they refuse to understand this fact of life. And until they do, evil will continue to keep control over most people. People, the reality of the creator of life is unseen. And when he created human life, when he created human life, it was unseen. He gave the spiritual life power to rise above the animal life. He created the nature of good in the human heart. And by doing this, he made the human heart all good. This is a knowledge and wisdom that can free the human soul from low evil and common pleasures and bring the good life of Allah back into human life. People, Allah says, Allah says sin can reach a point where the doors of his forgiveness are closed. So people, Allah says, wrong is not on your side. And people, he says, the time for spiritual change is now. Because Allah says this time is fleeting. People, if you would only try to understand and change your life back to the good life Allah made you in, before your time runs out. Yes, as you can see, we have a heavy, very heavy discussion today. And I pray that you will listen carefully. Enjoy it. I hope and pray that you've invited others who are in the audience listening to join us also. And now, before, without any further delay, as I am a little late, a few minutes late, I will give you now Imam Shahid Shabazz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I greet everyone that is with us today in the greetings of peace. And I pray and thank Allah for all of you all being blessed by Allah to have another opportunity today to get our life prepared for our return back to Allah. We say in the prayer that Prophet Muhammad taught us, prayers and peace be upon him, all praise is due to Allah who have brought us back to life. After he have imposed upon us a state next to death, truly unto Allah is the final resurrection. With that said, we want to open with the Al-Fatiha, the opening surah chapter of the Holy Quran, and then we'll translate it in English for those who don't understand the language of Arabic in the Quran. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إذن صراط مستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Yes, we just said with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the God of Univolver, the cherisher and sustainer of all worlds, the most gracious, the most merciful, the master, the ruler of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we see. We ask Allah to show us the straight way, the way of those on whom he have bestowed his favor and grace, not of those whose portion is rare, nor of those who go astray deliberately from the path of Allah, which is the path of his righteousness and his justice. Want for your brother what you want for yourself. I mean. So with that said, brothers and sisters, I want to start reading from the Quran because this right here is very important today, not only for Muslims, but for all people. We're all one human race. No matter what religion you call yourself, no matter what sect or group you call yourself as a Muslim, names don't mean nothing, people. Allah said, what is names without meanings behind them? And today we see most people in the world, most Muslims, most people, they always coming up with these old fancy names, Sheikh, Ilam, President, all these names, lords, kings, and all of these names without meaning behind them. You see? These names don't have meanings behind them. The meaning behind all creation is the reality of the Creator, Allah. Allah is the only reality. The names are just names to direct us to what the meaning of our Creator want us to understand of the names. It's just like, for instance, my name is Shahid. Shahid means the witness of Allah, the Creator. So we're not just supposed to have names that don't have meaning like Jack Johnson. I mean, what did Jack Johnson do? His name Jack and Johnson? Okay, what does Jack mean? Concerning what the Creator wants Jack to do. What does Johnson mean? Concerning what the Creator wants Johnson to do, Jack Johnson. So this is something I want you to understand as I read from the Quran. This is Surah 66. Ayat 6 I'm starting with. Very powerful. It's Allah Almighty. We ask Allah to protect us from shaitan. As we read the Quran, the word of Allah, no distractions. Allah say, O ye who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is men, humans, and stones, over which are appointed angels, stern and severe, who flinch not from executing the commands they receive from Allah, but do precisely what they are commanded. They will say, O ye unbelievers, make no excuses this day. Ye are being but requited for all that ye did. O ye who believe, turn to Allah with sincere repentance in the hope that your Lord will remove from you your ills and admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow, the day that Allah will not permit to be humiliated the prophet and those who believe with him. Their light will run forward before them and by their right hands, while they say, Our Lord, perfect our light for us and grant us forgiveness, for thou hast power over all things. Salak al-Azim. Allah's words are true. Allah speaks the truth. So I'm saying this, I quoted this out of the Quran because I want you people to know, Muslims and non-Muslims, that, you know, the bad things that's happening in this world, the killings and all of this, it's bad. It's horrific things happening in this world. I know here in the state of North Carolina where I'm at, and never have we heard of this before until around about the Sixers integration that with African-American people. But this African-American young man cut his father's head off in my hometown, Durham, North Carolina. He brought it, he set his father's head after he severed it off his body on the table, called his mother downstairs and said, Mama, come look. He can't hurt us no more. A young man down there, I think, Dobson, North Carolina, somewhere down in there, he cut his mother's head off, and when the police came, he had his mother's head severed, head out in his hand, holding in his hand, laughing. These are horrific things. People, do you know that the hell fire that we will experience, Allah talking about here, is much worse than anything, all the bad things that are happening in this world? So this is why Allah says, save yourselves and your families from this fire. And Allah say here, if you give me a moment, it won't take me long here. Allah say, you know, this is no hardship on the day of judgment or injustice that he going to impose on people. He said, all is the fruit of your own deeds, of what people did, their own actions, the result of their deliberate choice to do wrong. With that said, I'll stop. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You're now listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shaheen Shabab, which is brought to you every Sunday at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We thank you for listening. And for those of you who are want to join us out there, we want you to hit that number one button, and your number will show up in the studio for you to join us with some feedback. And we thank you for joining us this morning. As you can see, we have a powerful, very powerful discussion going on for today for you. Listen carefully, because this can and will save your life. We have some guests here this morning. We have our imam from Georgia here today. I'm going to bring him on now to see if he has any comments. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, sister?
And how are you today, ma'am?
And wa alaikum salam to you, brother, ma'am.
I wanted to talk this morning about a continuation of the sermon of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his last sermon, the Prophet Muhammad said, O people, your wives have a certain right over you, and you have a certain right over them. Treat them well and be kind to them, for they are your committed partners and committed helpers. The Quran says, It is no sin if you divorce your wives while you have not yet touched them or fixed any dowry for them. In such a case, pay them something anyhow. A rich man should pay fairly according to his means, and a poor man according to his resources. For this is an obligation on the righteous people. In case you fix the dowry for them and then divorce them before you touch them, you should pay half of the fixed dowry. But there is no harm if the woman agrees to forego it, or the man. In whose hands is the marriage tie, is generous enough to pay the dowry in full. And if you men act generously, it is akin to piety. Do not forget to show generosity in your dealings with one another, for Allah sees what you do. This is in Al-Baqarah, Ayah 236. Then in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, it is not lawful for you to become the heirs of widows by force, nor is it lawful that you should treat your wives harshly in order to deprive them of a part of the dowry you have given them. However, you have the right to treat them harshly if they are guilty of adultery. You should live with them in an honorable manner, even if you dislike them. It is possible that Allah may bring much good to you through that very thing you dislike. If your wife is not beautiful or has some other defect that might not be to the husband's liking, it is not right that he should make up his mind to get rid of her at once without any further consideration. He should behave coolly and patiently. She may have some other redeeming qualities that may be more conducive to a happy married life than beautiful looks. It is just possible that the discovery of those qualities might change his repulsion at first sight into an attraction. In the same way, sometimes it so happens that in the beginning of married life, the husband takes a dislike to something in the wife and feels a repulsion towards her, but if he is patient with her and lets her show her better side fully, he himself realizes that her good qualities more than compensate for her shortcomings. Therefore, it is not right for the husband to cut off his relations with his wife without a good deal of thinking. Divorce is the very last thing to which one may resort as a necessary social surgery, and that too only when it becomes absolutely inevitable. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that of all the lawful things, divorce is the most reprehensible thing, the most disgraceful thing in the sight of Allah. In another tradition, he admonishes in An-Nisa, enter into marriage and divorce not, for Allah does not approve of such men and women as divorce and marry for mere sexual enjoyment. I was in Syria a few years ago, and a friend of mine's wife had been living in America, and she came to live in Syria with him. And we were talking about things in America because I hadn't been to America in many, many years. And she mentioned the fact that a lot of young sisters, young pretty sisters who had just accepted Islam, had four or five different husbands, had four or five or six different children from these men, and they were all divorced. So it appeared that men, the way the sisters interpreted that was that men were divorcing and marrying these pretty sisters just for the mere sexual enjoyment of being with them. We should be careful of how we treat our women because they are a blessing to us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Imam, and it's so timely, and Allah, it works in such a perfected and precise way. That's what you said was very needed, because a lot of sisters ask me all the time, say, on the show, y'all need to talk more about the relationship between the man and the woman. and talk more about how the men, the Muslim men and men in particular, but mostly in general, Muslim men, because we're supposed to be the example for other marriages, how we should treat our women. And this is not coming from you, your words. These are the words of Almighty God, Allah, the creator of all people. And that was very beautiful. You inspired me because, like I said, I'm talking to a sister in North Carolina. And like you say, she's not so much, you know, like you say, got all what the world would say, so pretty and all that. I don't want the outside. No way. The real woman is inside. This is soul of the woman, the mind. And like you said, Allah say, you be patient. And if you see some qualities in your wife that you don't like, be patient with her. And in time, because Islam is not based on physical beauty or material things. Islam is based on spiritual, spiritual love of Allah. Because we all are going to die, as the sister said in the beginning. Our bodies are just shells. Just like you come in your house. You can't stay in your house. You live in your house. That's your dwelling, but you got to leave to go out to earn your living. You can't just stay up in there all the time. You'll die. So, you know, we have to look beyond the physical and begin to recognize the beauty, like the Temptations, a singing group said, beauty is only skin deep. And that was a beautiful song if you listen at the lyrics, because they said the woman may be fine on the outside, but so untrue on the inside. But like we have been given the true knowledge, and nothing has been left out in the Quran that Allah has given us of how we are to develop the proper relationships, and this is Muslims and all people on this earth as husbands and wives, so we will have a heavenly type life in this world, and also the good life that Allah have prepared for the good people that obey His laws in the Quran in the next life. I want to say this right quick, too, if I can, and I'll be through, because this is very important, too. Allah say, whatever may have been the faults of the past, you know, with Muslims, people in general, that we should unite in good deeds and abandon petty sectarian jealousies, that is, breaking off into sects and saying, I'm right, your group right, my group right. And Allah said we should remove your difficulties and distress. He said He will remove your difficulties and distress if you unite in His unity and recognize that we are all one human family, one righteous human family. And Allah say, and the evils from which you suffer, indeed, jealousies, and Allah will remove your difficulties if you unite in unity and love for one another, and He will remove your distresses and all the evils from which you suffer. Indeed, Allah will grant you the bliss of heaven and save you from any humiliation which you may have brought on yourselves by your conduct, and on the reverence of Allah's prophet and teacher whose name you profess to take. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You are now listening to the broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, the reality of the Creator, which is brought to you every Sunday at 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you who are listening in the audience, press the number one button if you have any questions, comments. Press the number one button and give us your feedback. Let us hear from you. This is your show, not our show. It's your show, people. It is for you. It is to help guide you and direct you back to the right path where you've gone so far straight off path. And we want you to ask questions. We want you to hear from us. That is what makes the show, because this is what the show is all about. So feel free, hit that number one button, and we will be glad to hear from you. We do have another caller here now that I would bring on, who's been here for a few minutes, and I believe this person has been here long enough now to hear what this show talk is all about today, the discussion. So now, Assalamu alaikum. This is our beautiful brother here from Winston-Salem, South Carolina. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. How are you, sister?
Fine, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, and assalamu alaikum to the host and the hostess and the brother Imam who gave his dalil he just gave. Alhamdulillah. I hope everybody's well. Calling from Winston-Salem, Abdul Kareem, and I haven't chimed in the past few weeks, but it's just a pleasure to listen and inshallah gain some additional knowledge and a reminder benefits the believers. And when I came in, the brother was talking about divorce and how Allah has, how he expects us to treat our spouses and when we can resort, you know, to divorce as a final means, but how there's so many more steps before divorce that we should try to take to make an arrangement work. And that's between both spouses, you know, as the sister might not like the way the brother's appearance is, or may not like some things about a brother, and she's expected to have some patience, and there might be some good in him that's a huge benefit for her, and definitely for us brothers, you know, there's so many benefits there that we could find in our sisters that are of huge benefit to us, even though, you know, on the surface, a brother might only be thinking about looks or thinking about, you know, one or two real tangible things, when there are other very, very important intangible things that might protect us from the fire, or that might protect us from Allah being angry with us. And we know as men, you know, Allah doesn't, you know, I had the question was asked, you know, why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made istighfar so much. You know, he said 70, 100 times a day or more than that, that he would say, you know, astaghfirullah or seek Allah's forgiveness and make that type of istighfar, because there's so many things that we just take for granted that displease Allah, that we might not even look at as a sin, or we may not even look at it as something wrong. We might just look at it as a regular day. And meanwhile, we're sinning. And I was talking to the Imam Shabazz earlier and about, you know, good and bad, and how you got to know what's bad. If I just take it on myself on what I think is bad, I might not think I've done anything bad this morning. Meanwhile, I argued with my mom. Meanwhile, I done, you know, looked at some pretty girl walking down the street. Meanwhile, I, you know, ate something that I wasn't supposed to eat, that wasn't halal. Meanwhile, I might have done 10 things that were not pleasing to Allah, that I could have done more according to the sunnah, that I could have done, taken an opportunity to please Allah with that action, and instead I did the opposite and did something that was not pleasing to Allah, right? Allah tells us, lower your gaze when you see something you know you're not supposed to be looking at, right? If you didn't that, yeah, alhamdulillah. And if you didn't do that, you might not think that that was a sin. I mean, she walked past me. I wasn't looking that way. She walked in my line of sight. You're supposed to lower your gaze.
Right.
You know, our parents, and I say my mother, my parent, but, you know, it could be your wife or anybody, might have said something that you took offense to, that you didn't have to take offense to, that you could have taken a higher road. And Allah blesses you when you take a higher road, especially with your family, especially with your family, because you're expected to be tested the most from your family. Who's going to get under your skin
that's
the most
right.
except somebody that you love, or, you know, somebody that's close to you. So you're expected to take you know, what we think, you know, is taking an L or taking a loss, we want to get a win. That win might be an L with Allah. You know, you might think you win in here and you're displeasing Allah. Who really lost? You lost.
That's right.
You know, if doing something, touching something, eating something, looking at something, saying something gave you some short-term victory here and displeased Allah, there's a saying that goes, short-term pleasure is long-term pain. And if you find yourself doing something that's somehow pleasing in this life, but you could sit back later when you, you know, take off your shoes and sit down at the table and you look back at your actions in the past hour. I don't even got to say the past day, the past few hours, and you say, I could have done that this way. I could have done that this way. I could have avoided this and I could have avoided that. You know, those short-term pleasures are not what we want. We want the long-term gratification of pleasing our Lord. And you have to know what pleases your Lord and what doesn't please your Lord so that you could be more pleasing to him, because that's our goal, so that we could hope to gain his mercy. And for sure, with the zawj you mentioned, with the our relations, when two people coming from two different, you know, life, two different, being raised two different ways, come together under one roof, it's going to require some patience. It's going to require you looking deeper into the situation to see, you know, the good that you could extract and the good that you can bring into the relationship. And that gives you mercy from Allah. So thank you for the beautiful reminder. And alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure listening, and shukran for giving me an opportunity to speak. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. That was very, very straight to the point. It was very concise, very clear, and very, as you say, remindful for us as believers, because we don't know when Allah going to send the angel of death for our souls. But Allah say the smartest person is the one that remembers death the most, and the wisest person is the one that is better ready and at all times ready for death. So we should stay in a state where we're ready for Allah. And since we don't know when Allah going to take our souls out of the body, we should always be conscious every day as if though this is my last day. And I even went so far, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, if Allah bless us to wake up in the morning, we should live as if though preparing for Allah, as if though we're not going to see sunset. And he said, if we live to see sunset, we should be so conscious of pleasing Allah, not going to the air fire. We should be preparing ourselves not to even see sunrise. So that's very important right there. And I just want to say this particular surah. It's a short surah out of the Quran, the surah 67, the 29-30, you know, ayat 1. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Blessed be Allah, in whose power is dominion, and Allah over all things have power. Allah who created death and life, that Allah may try which of you is best indeed. And Allah is the exalted in might, the often forgiven. And Allah is the one that created the seven heavens, one above another, no want or proportion without seeing the creation of Allah most gracious. So turn thy vision again. Seest thou any flaws in Allah's creation? Again, turn thy vision a second time. Thy vision will come back to thee dull and discomforted in a state worn out, because we will not find any flaws in anything that Allah created in the heavens and the earth. And if we look for the good in ourselves, like the brother imams have said, then we can find the good. But if you look for the bad, believe you me, you can easily find the bad, because, and you don't have to look beyond yourself. If you look for the bad, like Michael Jackson said, just start with the man in the mirror. Start with yourself. And Allah says that. He says that our Prophet Muhammad said that, prayers and peace be upon him. The greatest struggle we got to keep ourselves in check, as the Imams were saying, is on ourselves. To keep Brother Shahid right, Brother Imam Shahid right, I have to do constant self-check, jihad or self-check, and that's until I die. And Allah says, seek his knowledge to correct ourselves from the cradle to the grave. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Sahib Rakata.
Alaykum as-salam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shabazz, reality of the Creator. And today's discussion is, life is the process of the human soul rising up into spiritual life. And for those of us who are conscious, who are spiritually conscious, conscious of the Creator, we are also conscious, or should be conscious, of our spiritual life. And I often think about the spiritual life as I observe people and see, are they responding or acting from their conduct, as they realize that their life is spiritual instead of physical. And in most cases, unfortunately, when you see people in their conduct, you realize that they're not aware that that is not them, the physical is not them, that they're spiritual. Because their conduct indicates everything that physical is only what they appear to be interested in. Interested in the next show. Interested in the next style. Interested in the next song. Nothing of Allah. Nothing striving to please Allah. Nothing growing themselves into a better person, treating each other right, thinking of the person sitting next to them or next door to them, thinking of that animal that's out there in the street that looks like it might even be hungry. Nothing shows us any spiritual concern or connection in most people. They're always the good, but they seem to be in the minority in most cases. So people, we must stop and think about our life. In order for us to be living a spiritual life, we have to act. Our conduct to show that we care and we're concerned about the life that we take back to Allah, our spiritual life that returns to Allah, and not our physical life. Our physical life is not what we have to ask for. It's our spiritual life here on earth. So this is a beautiful discussion, one that's going to make you think, will make you think, or should make you think. All right. So now I want to give you, we want to return to the guest that we have here with us today. And give them the opportunity again. The brothers spoke so beautifully today here regarding marriage. So I'm giving the opportunity now to speak again. That our Imam from Georgia, Imam Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Kareem Shabazz, Abu Hamza. I wanted to say something about brotherhood today. In Medina, when the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah himself migrated to Medina from Mecca, the Muslims in Mecca, in Medina rather, took them in and took care of them. And in his last sermon, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O you people, listen carefully. All the believers are brothers. You are not allowed to take things belonging to another Muslim unless he gives it to you willingly." The Quran says in Surah Al-Hujurat, "And if two parties of the believers fall to mutual fighting, make peace between them. Then if either of them transgresses against the other, fight the one that has transgressed till it returns to Allah's command. Then if it returns, make peace between them with justice. And be just, because Allah loves those who do justice. The believers are brothers of one another. So set the relations right between your brothers and fear Allah. It is expected that you will be shown mercy. I have a friend of mine that lives in Chicago. We spent a lot of time together, our families, and when we lived in Syria and were studying. And he's very disappointed with the level of brotherhood where he lives. And he has told the brothers there in small groups not to call him brother anymore, which is kind of drastic because we are a brotherhood and we don't always get along with our blood brothers, much less brothers who are not of the same blood, but who are brothers of the faith.
Right.
Which should be a deeper brotherhood. Because we have chosen this brotherhood. But I fell down. I went into the masjid that I usually go to for Salat al-Jummah. And it was a wet day that day, just before Jummah started. And I went into the masjid, and there were no rubber mats on the floor to make it easy for us to walk across this marble floor. And I fell flat on my back and broke my arm. And I was in a cast and restraints for many weeks.
Not one of those brothers
said to me, "Brother, how do you feel?" So this is something that we have to cultivate. We have to cultivate a brotherhood, because that's what we are, whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not. And we have to do the things that we think that brothers would do to each other to make a brother feel welcome, to make a brother feel safe, to make a brother know that you're not the enemy.
That's right.
And until we do that, we're not really going to be the type of brotherhood that they had in Medina when the Muslims from Mecca migrated to Medina and had nothing. The Meccan Muslims were city people, whereas Medina was less of a city-type atmosphere.
Right.
And those brothers accepted the brothers from Mecca. If a brother had two wives, he gave one to his brother from Mecca.
If a brother
had two houses, he gave one to his brother from Mecca that he didn't know.
They
did everything they possibly could to make it possible for those brothers from Mecca to be absorbed into the local society and to become a part of the brotherhood there in Medina.
That's right.
This is not easy to do. This takes a major adjustment in your thinking. We say you shouldn't loan money to a friend. Well, if you loan money and then you expect the money to be paid back at a certain time and the brother can't pay it back at that time, then you want to get mad at him and you all want to fight and you don't want to talk to him no more. This breaks down the brotherhood.
Sure.
So it's better to just give your brother money.
That's right.
If you can afford it, give him what you can afford. If you can't afford all the money he's asking for, give him what you can. But tell him there's no strings, you don't owe me anything. This is from me to you, brother. And this is the type of attitude that we have to develop, because we're not used to that. We're used to not knowing who our neighbor is, not caring about who our neighbor is, just so long as he stays over there and doesn't come over on my side.
Exactly.
But we have to make sure that our brothers are treated special.
That's
right. And it's a two-way street. It's not just one brother does all the helping of his brother and the other one just takes what he can get from this brother, right, brother, in the name of brotherhood. We need to develop a natural instinct for taking care of our brother, helping our brother, making things easy for our brother. There's a tradition that was talked about on the battlefield. Some Muslims had been downed on the battlefield and they were thirsty, and somebody came with water. And he brought water to the nearest brother to him, and he said, "No, I'm not going to drink it until my brother next to me drinks." And he went to the brother next to him to give him some water. He said, "No, let him drink before me." And he went to the third brother and said, "Here's some water for you, brother." And he said, "No, give it to him. I'll drink after he drinks." This is the type of brotherhood. This is the type of instinct for brotherhood that we have to develop.
That means
that when you say "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah" or "Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," that we change our life. This is a life-changing utterance. These are life-changing words.
Yes.
I was at the masjid on Friday, and a new young brother came to Islam and took the Shahadatain. Inshallah, Allah will bless him with success in Islam. But we have to take this brotherhood seriously and know that these are our only brothers. Person does
That's
what
right.
we do, he's our brother.
That's right.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. We thank you for that wonderful and very, very necessary advice, Brother Imam. Excuse me, I'm the horse. Bear with me, please. That was very, very necessary, because this is what we see. We don't have in the world, in the Muslims, Christians, Jews, just in people in general. We don't see brotherhood. I'll give you an example of something that happened to me. I'll be briefly. I still go out, I share it with you, Brother Imam, and Brother Imam Abdul Kareem know, because we're right here together in the same city. I go out and I still do door-to-door like they did during the Nation of Islam and try to reach the people. And I have products I have for the people to help them. One brother, he was trying to show off for the community, and he tried to embarrass me and said, he's cursing me and said I was a bad Muslim and all that. So I didn't argue back with him. Only thing I said to him, I said, "Well, listen, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm a man, I'm not no child, so don't treat me like I'm a child." And I just walked on. So anyway, even though he was wrong, the next day, I asked Allah, I said, "Allah, bless me to see him." And even though he was wrong, let the people see me. I want to go to him and apologize to him anyway, because this is what Prophet Muhammad would have did, and he did do, and this is what drew a lot of people into Islam, a great majority, by his conduct. He didn't repair evil with negative. He repaired evil with something that was better than negative, which is good, or kindness. So I said to the brother, "I didn't even mean to go to his door, but Allah just sent me there anyway." And he came to the door and said, "Oh, you the one that cursed me out the other day." I said, "Well, brother, if I cursed you out, I apologize." And he said, "Brother, I apologize to you too." So this is the type of attitude, like the Imam said, this is the only way we're going to change this world. We got to come out of this here. Allah says, first of all, the root of all evil is the love of this world. So if we're going to learn how to love each other, we can't love this world. We got to love the world of Allah. The world of Allah is unseen. The world of Allah is in our heart. The world of Allah is in our soul. So we got to start dealing with the soul, like the sister said, more, and their heart. You know, I sing just as a hobby. And when I sing, people always say, "You got a beautiful voice." And I always let them know, mashallah, it's just because I just like to make people happy. I like to make them remember the goodness of Allah in all of us, not just me. And I want to say this, and then I'm through. This is from the Quran, too, and it ties right in with the conversation. This is Surah 68. This is some of the footnotes. Allah says, to evil and good, there can never be the same end. Allah say, no authority can the unjust people produce for their false imaginations of Allah in evil things. Allah say, in shame will they realize this on the day Just bear patient with me. Allah say, to evil and good, there can never be the same end. Allah say, no authority can the unjust produce for their false imaginings. Allah say, in shame will they realize this on the day when all illusions will vanish and they find that the time for repentance is past. Allah say, the good man should wait and should never lose patience, even though things go dead against him. Allah say, Prophet Jonah, alayhi salam, suffered in agony, but his sincere repentance brought him the grace of his Lord, and he joined the company of the righteous. For Allah's truth is firm, and Allah's truth is unshaken, and Allah's truth is calm, and Allah's truth works good through all Allah's creation. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaykum as-salam.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi. Can you hear me?
Yes, so Brother Imam Abdul. Yes, I'm done.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And that was actually, that's a surah in Quran that I read this morning after Fajr that was very similar to what you said. And I don't know if, you know, Allah just put it in your heart like that, or if you, you know, just happened to read the same surah, but it was in Surah Al-Fusilat. Let me just see if I have which I. Fusilat is 41:34. And the meaning is translated as, the good deed and the evil deed are not alike. Repel the evil deed with one which is better. Then lo, he between whom there was enmity will become as though he was a bosom friend. And,
yes,
you know, Allah is telling us in that, and I had to read that sort of, I went back and tried to read the tafsir, you know, you try to get a good understanding because it's easy to come up with your own understanding sometimes. So you try to read the tafsir and see what the muhaddith, you know, or Ibn Kathir or whoever, you know, say, have to add to it. And it's, as it says, man, the good deed and the evil deed are not alike. They are not alike, and you repel. Somebody does something evil to you, you, like you said, how you did it, you repel it with something that is better. And you know that it's better because it's something that's more pleasing to Allah. It's more pleasing
that's
to
right.
Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more that you read his sirah, it's like he didn't get mad unless you violated something about his religion, unless you said something about his Lord. Like if you just violated him, you know, it wasn't the same, you know. So he was able to always come back with a higher, you know, a better reply, a reply that was
That's
an
right.
example for all of us. And that good that we do when we come back with a better reply, we don't fight the evil with evil. That man wasn't touching
no.
you. He was just running his mouth. Alhamdulillah.
That's
you were
right.
able to step back and come back the next day with salam, with Allah's peace, with that better
yes.
path. And when you repel that, Allah says he will make that person as though he was a bosom, a close friend. Like you would just 180
right.
degrees turn somebody who you would avoid, turn an enemy into a friend, a close, a bosom
exactly.
friend. So you know.
Yes.
But doing it, of course, it's much easier to read it than to actually do it. And, you know, and we pray that we have that patience and that ability when the time comes to put that better foot forward and
that's right.
And stifle our own, you know, reaction, our own dunya reaction, for a reaction that would be more pleasing to Allah. And we know that it's more pleasing to Allah because it's from the actions of the messenger, you know, from the actions of you know, the Muslims always want to know what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would he have handled it? And if we know
that
he would have taken that higher road and we can take the higher road, then we get blessings for that. And that's alhamdulillah that you were able to do that. And I pray that Allah makes it easier for us all to take the higher road, because for sure the good deed and the evil deed are not alike. And we want to be closer to the good and closer to what's pleasing to Allah whenever we have that opportunity. So I appreciate that lesson. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, so, I mean, was that something that you just happened to read this morning, Imam, or that was just a situation that happened to you, that coincidental?
Well, you know, I was actually, as we was talking, I was actually going through the Quran, and Allah just led me to that.
Okay, yeah.
And then Allah calls, he calls me to think about what happened to me the other day, too, you know, and about the man from Atlanta, about him speaking about brotherhood, because we don't want to just try to develop a good brotherhood with Muslims, but we want to try to develop a good brotherhood with mankind. And like you said, Rasulullah, a lot of people treated him, like you said, in ways that was very, you know, bad. They weren't good. They weren't good. But he, like you said, if it wants something concerning the deen, our way of life, Islam, he just let it go. And just like, for instance, and I stand to be corrected. This lady, she used to, she was a Jew, and she had an aversion towards Islam. She didn't like Islam because she thought that Moses, Prophet Musa, was the real prophet, and Prophet Muhammad was not the real, was a prophet of Allah. Okay, so she just said Prophet Muhammad was a fake, and so she used to throw things out of her window at him, curse him. I understand even she used to urine and even throw some of that on him. And because he was a merchant, and this was a route he used to go. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and peace be upon him, he didn't stop going that route. He kept on going that route. And so one day, nothing didn't happen. He didn't hear no cursing. He was looking for this, and nothing didn't come out the window at him. So now most of us would say, oh, man, I'm so glad of that. I can go by here with peace. So Prophet Muhammad, he thought about it, and he wondered where was this lady at. And he inquired in the town about the lady in Mecca, and they told him the lady had taken ill and she was in the hospital. Prophet Muhammad went to the hospital to see this lady. This lady's heart was so touched by a man she hated so much because of his religion, his way of life, his belief in one God and Prophet Muhammad. She took the shahada. She told Prophet Muhammad, she said, you have to have the right way, because there's no way the way I treated you, you could come to visit me on my sick bed. She said, so I want to accept the faith that you're in. And she took her shahada right there on her sick bed and became one of the notable Muslims in the Muslim history to this very day. So it works. So it works. It works what you said. And my mother used to say, I'm in my sixties in America, they used to say two wrongs don't make a right.
Right.
And my grandmother used to tell me, because I would fight. You know, I wasn't a mean person, but if you bothered me, I would fight you. And, I mean, my grandmother used to tell me, the strongest person is not the one to stay and fight, but the strongest person is the one that can walk away from the fight. And Bruce Lee said the same thing. He's a martial artist. A man asked him, say, on his movie, The Enter the Dragon, say, what is your style, your art, your style of fighting? Bruce Lee thought for a moment. He said, my style of fighting? He said, my art and style of fighting is the art of fighting without fighting.
MashaAllah.
So that was powerful there, too. That was a powerful message. So you can't correct wrongs with another wrong. You correct wrongs with something that's better than wrong. That's all I want to say.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah give us all the strength to do that. Ameen.
Yes, sir. May Allah do that, I pray.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Well, if we have a moment, I mean, what I went through with the brothers at the jail today, when I was there earlier with two other of my companions that come to the jail with me, you know, we wanted to just make sure everybody knew how to pray and some of the, you know, requirements of praying, and even though you have 15, 20 plus people in a room. And you think everybody's aware of everything, a reminder benefits the believers. A reminder benefits somebody who, you know, who believes, just like somebody studying for an exam. You might have sat through the class, but when the final exam comes, you brush up and you study some more. And in this deen or this religion of ours, we will, you know, be trying to perfect our salat for the rest of our lives, you know, trying to perfect our salat. I think it was one of the Sahaba who said if he knew that Allah accepted one of his salat, you know, just one sujood or one portion of his salat, you know, he would be happy. And we just don't know. But and in the jail, we went over that, and it was just beneficial. You know, reminders are beneficial, which is what makes, you know, programs and seeking knowledge and things like that so important for us as Muslims. So important as us, for people who are just trying to please our Lord. You could put whatever name on it you want. Muslim is what I call myself, or believer is what I hope I am, Ihsan, or you want to call yourself any other religion that you call yourself. If you're trying to please your Lord and you want to get better at it, you have to put, you know, you have to look into it. You have to do some investigation. And
when
it came to prayer, when it came to prayer today, it was a lot of people who needed the reminder. They were doing things that they just saw other people doing. And when we say, why did you do that? You know, they really didn't know. And there wasn't any good answer. So it's so important, you know, we pray. It's so important that we're in that state of cleanliness when we pray. You know, it's right, and it's so important. And our messenger showed us everything, which I pointed out as an example of just another proof that we know that we are in the right religion. I mean, the Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the messenger of Allah, the trusted Rasul of Allah, didn't leave out something as simple as how to blow your nose, or how to sneeze, or how to cover your mouth when you yawn. So you know he was going to show something as important as prayer, every single step that's important to it. And, you know, and being in that right, facing the right way, and, you know, make sure we purify ourselves after we use the restroom, and being in that state of purity is important.
Exactly.
So, you know,
it's
so it's so important to the prayer. And if we want Allah to accept, you know, it's what makes us different than any other religion on the planet, is the way we worship our Lord and where we got the instructions on how to do it. And if we want to do it right, we need to do our research on it. So I pray everybody who's listening, everybody who's, you know, in the audience and trying to, that they put some effort towards pleasing their Lord and making sure that they're doing things because it's what their Lord likes and not something that they just saw on TV or saw on YouTube or, you know, think
that's right
is good. You know, if I said to them, if I just go by what I think is good, my opinion of what I think is good, I would be so far from Al-Islam that I don't think you
that's
recognize
right.
it as Islam. You know, I would be around the corner.
And I want to join you. I want to join you and say, I don't mean to cut you. If any of us, it doesn't matter whether you say you're Muslim, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, anybody, if they think that what they are doing, if they say they believe in any creator, the creator, and they do opposite, they still just continue to do what they think is right, but they don't try to find out what their creator says right, that they would go so far away from their creator that they would think they're going to him, but they would be going the opposite from him, which leads to the hellfire.
Yeah,
so it ain't but two ways to go. It ain't but two ways to go in life for the human being. If the human being choose the creator to follow his will, we're led, Allah say, to his Jannah, his paradise. He will guide us to his paradise. He say, if we refuse to follow his guidance and his revelations and the Quran, which is the confirmation of all revelation, he say, it will lead us to the hellfire. So following our own will, Allah say, will lead us into all evil. And he say, following his will lead us into all good. And this is in Quran over and over again. And it's in many, many hadiths. So, you know, I really enjoy this talk because it's simple, it's plain, and it's not hard to understand. And, I mean, practice leads to perfection. So if you practice what the man from Atlanta, you said, I said, the sister said, then, you know, Allah will make it easier for you. And the most important thing that I think I can say in this day on this program is that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said religion is sincerity. So no matter what you do in your faith, in your seeking your creator, whatever religion you say you are, if you are not sincere, your creator does not even regard you as a believer in him.
And the biggest deterrent to that sincerity is your pride and your ego.
That's
the
right.
Biggest, the biggest deterrent to you being sincere is your own in your chest, your own pride and your ego and your sincerity that and will defect, will make your sincerity weak. It'll make you insincere.
That's right.
Because you have that pride, you got to be right, or you're going to try to show off or whatever it is.
That's right.
That will take away from the sincerity that you have in your religion. Because now
you're going to make
a lie the truth. You could know that you're doing something wrong and somebody's telling you, but because you don't like the source that it's coming from, or because you want to be right, or because of fill in the blank reason, you're not going to follow what you know to be the truth because it wasn't what you were doing, and you want to make yourself right. And that arrogance,
that's right,
that pride will get you in trouble as far as you trying to be sincere to your Lord, no matter what religion you're in, no matter what
that's right.
you want to call yourself, like you just said, you can want to call yourself whatever it is. You heard the truth. You were inclined toward it because it sounded correct. But you didn't like
that's
where
right.
it came from. You don't like that it contradicts
right.
what you've been doing. You don't like some
that's
kind
right.
of egotistical thing. And because of that arrogance, you're not going to do what you know was probably the correct information. You're not even going to investigate
right.
it. You can't call yourself sincere. You can no longer
that's
call
right.
yourself sincere. And that, now you're playing with fire, literally, you know, because you can't let it go, and now you're playing
with
fire.
Absolutely.
And there's authentic Quran where Allah says that kind of pride is only for him. That's not for us.
That's exactly right. He said only belong to him.
Only belongs to him. That's his cloak. That's
and
his,
he said whoever tries to compete with him in that pride, he will cast him into the hellfire.
Yeah, they're in big trouble. All right. Right, exactly. This is very scary. Very scary to me, because humbling yourself sometimes is a big pill to swallow. But when you're dealing with your
it
Lord,
sure is.
You
it really is.
Yeah. So that's scary. When those hadith hit me, where I know I got to work on it, they become very scary for me. and I try my best, and I pray that Allah gives me the patience to work on those things. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, and I pray you and us also too, all listening and all sincere people who are not listening also. I pray that for them too.
Amen.
And where does that weakness, where does that pumped up pride and arrogance come from? But the shaitan. The shaitan is the source of everything that is against Allah, that is against
the truth.
I mean, the first crime that was ever committed was committed by Iblis. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to bow down and told the angels to bow down to Adam, Iblis refused.
That's
and
right.
He said, I am better than him.
Sure did.
You made him from black sticky mud. You made me from smokeless fire. I'm better
than
him. That's
right.
And every racist, bigoted, rude, disrespectful words that come from people come from their heart. This is the reason bullying is so bad, because bullying is mocking somebody, mimicking somebody, ridiculing somebody, because you think you're better than them.
That's right.
And we have to get this out of our hearts and get this out of our minds and get this out of our souls, because this is the shaitan controlling us. And that's why
sure
the Rasulullah alayhi wasallam in the last sermon said, beware of Satan. He is desperate to divert you from the worship of Allah. So beware of him in matters of your way of life. So throughout our lifetimes, the shaitan is always going to be there pumping up the pride, pumping up the arrogance. I mean, there's no reason, like you said, there's no reason for somebody to feel proud. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done anything to be proud of. All we've done is just taking advantage of the situation. So it's our responsibility to understand that the underlying cause of every hard-hearted act, every unjustful act, every lie that is told, the underlying cause for those things is the shaitan. He is our outward and inward enemy. And we have to get rid of him by saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, asking Allah to protect us from the shaitan. And Allah will protect us.
Yes, he will.
But these feelings of arrogance, they don't come from us. We're being controlled by the shaitan when we act arrogant, when we act proud.
That's right.
When we act like we're better than somebody else. Because only Allah knows who is better than somebody else.
That's right.
Not any one of us.
But, ma'am, if I can say just briefly, not cutting you, excuse me, Allah say the best of us in his sight as human is the one that is best in their conduct.
Exactly.
So what you are saying in essence is that best conduct comes from obeying Allah. And when we don't obey Allah, we don't submit to Allah's authority, then there's self. And self, Rasulullah said, self, the greatest jihad we have is on self. So I actually, like Brother Mamadou Kareem said, our self is like a door. And as long as we submit to Allah, that door is closed so Satan can't come in. But when we begin to entertain the thoughts, the evil thoughts of the Satan, then we open the door and let Satan bring all this evil and all of this wickedness in our life in this world. And Allah called him the chief enemy, the arch enemy of mankind. And Allah said he's our enemy, so treat him as your enemy. You don't treat your enemy as your friend. Most people today, even most Muslims, they treat evil and the haram things they're doing, just like it's all right. When you do that, you're taking Satan as your friend. Because like you say, all the haram, he whispers all the haram to us. Do what Allah say don't do. And it's up to us to accept that or reject that. And like the Imam Abdul Karim said, that ain't easy now. But and I'm going to tell you what happened to me. Now, I told one brother what I did when I apologized to that brother, even though he cursed me out. It didn't really matter. I mean, I'm a believer. I got to set an example. So I told another brother in another section I was working in Winston-Salem, and he said the reason that you did what you did is because you're a humble man. And I said, Alhamdulillah. I said, thank you, brother. And he was right because, like Imam Abdul Karim said, humility is not something that's easy for us as human beings. And that's what you're saying to come by. I mean, you know, you really have to just literally disregard yourself, period, and know for a fact that Allah is the only reality and that you don't even exist and that all good is in the goodness of Allah. You don't have any good. All good come from Allah, and all the evil come from Shaitan, like you said. And if you understand that, you continue, always try to submit your will to Allah, and like the Imam said, even ask Allah, say, Allah, if I'm saying something or doing something that's not pleasing to you, show me so I can change it. You got to ask Allah this. Allah deals with you the way you deal with him. If you want his help, he will give you help, but you got to ask yourself. He's not just going to give you his help. If you like what you're doing and it's haram, it's wrong, Allah going to stop you from doing it, and he's going to let you continue to do it. But if you do it, Prophet Muhammad, and I'm through, he said, when your good deeds, any human being, Muslim or not, when your good deeds pleases you and your bad deeds displeases you, then you know you is a true believer in Almighty God Allah.
Alhamdulillah. And I want to, I know we probably don't have a lot of time, but I know we probably don't have a lot of time, and I don't know if I have time to put this question out here this late in the program, but maybe the Imam from Atlanta or Imam Shabazz, you could tell me if this is an incorrect statement. I wrote this down because I'm going to do some more investigating on it, but it seems like the shaitan is always there. And I know he's close to our jugular, like he's close to us. And he's always there. And if he's always there inciting or stroking our egos and our evil desires and our pride, and then this would speak to where Allah says in Quran, repel evil with that which is better, because it's up to us to introduce Allah back into this process, because the shaitan is constantly there calling us to the left, so to speak, calling us to our desires, calling us to look, touch, act in ways that are displeasing to Allah. And it's up to us with our istighfar, it's up to us with our constant remembrance of Allah to keep Allah in the picture, because that just reduces the shaitan to the point where he don't even want to mess with us no more. To the point where he wants find an easier target than us, or find something else. He'll never get us to stop doing the good, because we constantly keeping our mouth moist with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not, it seems like the shaitan is always going to, that's what he does. He's got nothing else to do. I think it was Qayyim al-Jawzi said he's like a fourth grader, you know, oh, look at that. Ooh, touch that. Ooh, do this. You know, just like a, you know, just a constant caller to evil. And it's up to us to be a constant reminder of Allah to just repel that evil. Is that
absolutely right? Allahu Akbar. And I just want to add to that, this is right in line. This is Quran and Hadith. We are taught as believers in Allah in the Islamic way of life that if you don't have anything good to say, keep silent. Keep silent. And that will protect you too. And, you know, because if you don't have anything to say, because, see, Allah said he give us two ears and one tongue. That's why we should listen twice as much as we talk. And I was told years ago, and I stand to be corrected, when you start talking, then the shaitan, he got you then, if he can get you to talking too much. But if you're a person that likes to listen a lot, he don't know you, what's going on in your soul with you and Allah. He can't deal with your soul. Why? Because he fear Allah. So he know if you're close to Allah, then guess what? He's going to fear you too. Mm-hmm. So we need to learn to really have a deep fear of Allah, knowing that if we don't fear Allah, and we then the Satan can easily, you know, mislead us. And the Satan is a deceiver now, so he's going to make you think you're wrong is right. And like you said many times, Brother Imam, you know, and the Brother Imam from Atlanta, Iblis, he said, I'm better than he, you know. So, you know, that's something that is so rampant in the society, people thinking they're better than each other because of their car, or the way they look, or their money, or what I got. And so this is not easy what we're talking about now. But if you're sincere, that's the key. If you're sincere in your desire to please your Creator, not yourself, then he will protect you, he will guide you, and he will make sure. And he said, when a thought of evil from suggesting from the Satan come to your mind, bring Allah to remembrance. When low, he will bless you to see right, and the shaitan will flee. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You are listening to the Sunday broadcast of Imam Shahid Shamar, the reality of the Creator. And we want to thank you. Thank you very much for joining us this morning with this beautiful discussion that we have. And as a reminder to you, people, that we want to say we are serving our Creator, and we want to call out the Creator, this first, see that Creator as a human being, but the Creator is not a human being. And we want to call them by different names. But I actually show that we are not being sincere, because most of us go for this world and everything that's in it. We don't know what the masjid is, even though we call ourselves Muslim. We're seen there every now and then. We don't know what participating and joining in activities are at the masjid. Studying Quran every now and then, we open that book, makes a lot. But every opportunity we get to go anywhere, if we invite anywhere to anything in this world of worldly concern, we are there. Sometimes the first one there, leading to the activities and all. But yet we want to say that we are Muslim, that we are sincere Christian, that we are sincere believer. Yet the world calls us to its entertainment. Put off everything and anything, but we're always there to be entertained by this world and things that are going on in this world. We have to think about that is what we're doing, because that shows, our conduct shows who we are and what we are and what we're all about. I want to thank Imam Shaheen Shabazz, and I guess I see now the time is back. We only have 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Imam Shaheen Shabazz, you may close up.
Okay, and I thank you, brothers, for coming on. May Allah bless you, brothers. Brother from Atlanta, Imam, and Brother Imam Abdul Kareem, for the support of this show, because the show is our show, so that we can try to remind each other of the life Allah wants us to live, and at the same time, be examples to anybody, whether they're Muslim or not, of the life that they are supposed to live as a human being, because there's only one human family. We say Allah is God. We say Kul Hu Allah Hu Ahad, Allah Hu Samad, Lam Yalit, Walam Yalad, Walam Yaku Lahu Kufu One Ahad. We say Allah is one, the Creator is one, there is no Creator but Allah, and Allah is eternal. He have no beginning and no ending. He is absolute. He's dependent upon nothing, but all is dependent upon him. He begetteth not no son, nor is he begotten by any of his creation, a woman or any of his creation. He's always existed, always will exist, and there is nothing he created in the heavens and the earth likened to him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you, our beautiful guest, for the beautiful message that you brought to us to join us. May Allah bless all of you to have a wonderful and blessed day.
One who would forbid the wrong, one who would enjoin the right. And from the day you were born,